From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Hopefully you got most of your Christmas shopping done. You're inside a week now, 6 days before Christmas. Be on the roads traveling before long. Looks like the snow that was predicted or promised is not quite as prevalent in the forecast today as some previous days, but we'll be here with you all week. Also today, we've got a soft verbal presented by Billy's Pecans already up on the site at rebelgrove.com. The early signing period is a day away. Russell Johnson will take you through his thoughts prior to that with that podcast, a member of the MPW Digital family, so check that out at Rebel Grove. Also, he does some predictions for tomorrow on the site. We've already got nuggets up. We're talking about a 2020 baseball commit on the site this morning. So, busy morning up at rebelgrove.com. Neil was very chipper today. He's in a good mood, so we're gonna have a good show. We're gonna listen to another Rivals podcast for a second with Mike Farrell and Adam Gorney yesterday as they discussed Matt Corral and ignited a little conversation on our message board in the process. We'll look at that, talk about it a little bit, among other things today.
I'm looking forward to listening to it.
Yeah, you're like, hey, we can do this, and this. I thought you'd already heard it. I assumed it was going to be a second rehashing.
I heard about it. Haven't listened to it because every time I tried to pull it down on my phone, it wanted to do it in SoundCloud, and I don't have a SoundCloud account.
You can just click listen in browser because that's how we have our podcast now, so let's not talk bad about the browser with SoundCloud, please. That would be great.
No,
thank you very much.
I just haven't done it.
You can just click hit in browser, and it will come up and play. It is one of the easiest things in the world, and we love SoundCloud. We thank you, and we appreciate you this morning on this on this Tuesday morning.
I wasn't saying anything bad about SoundCloud.
You just said you didn't know how to work it.
I don't have it on my phone.
You don't have to. Click on the browser, and it will play it there.
I don't listen to our podcast on my phone. I already did the podcast. I don't need to go back and listen.
180 seconds in. Podbean sucks. SoundCloud sucks. Okay, thanks. Good. Merry Christmas. Podcast brought to you in part by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Ben Craddock wouldn't talk bad about SoundCloud. I just have a feeling, at least
say anything bad about SoundCloud.
He will, however, maybe not personally, but he will cook your ham or your turkey for the holiday season. As little as $15 to get that expertly smoked and out of the way, so it takes it off your plate as you're really busy for the holidays. So check them out for that. $4.99 lunch specials, ribs, and more with the Oxford Exxon 49-cent bottomless refills at the Blue Sky locations in Mississippi as well. And again, a few days left in the new year. It's a good time to check out Clark Ford and try to get a little bit of a discount.
It is. It's coming up on – everyone's talking about Christmas, but the New Year's Day is less than 2 weeks away, which means that they've got about 10 business days or so, 10, 12 business days to get vehicles off the lot for tax purposes. You can take advantage of that that desire on their part by getting a great deal, an even greater deal at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900. You call the number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's going to be right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You can get your car shopping done fast. You can shop it around if you'd like to other dealers and stuff. That's your prerogative. You're going to end up coming right back to Clark Ford and letting Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. And then to make it even better, on top of the great end-of-year deal that you get, tell Corey you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You'll get $500 off your bottom line from Clark Ford, 662-257-1900.
Couple of movie things to get us started this morning. Titanic debuted 20 years ago today, Neil.
I heard that. Yeah. I heard that.
Did you watch Titanic in a theater?
I watched Titanic at Pecanland Mall in Monroe, Louisiana. I did.
group date? What were you doing?
No, I was freshly married.
Okay.
We had gone to Ruston for Christmas, and we went over to Monroe to see Titanic. And if I recall correctly, we came home back to Ruston that night, and I think Ole Miss was playing Marshall in the Motor City Bowl, the Randy Moss game.
Well, would it have been this early? I guess maybe.
Well, it wasn't this. We didn't go the first night.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Never mind.
We went like Christmas 22nd, 23rd, 24th.
Yeah, because that would have been Randy Moss and Chad Pennington.
Yeah. So we saw that. I remember seeing that game.
Yeah. I think I've told the story. I've seen Titanic at the theater approximately 17 times during the course of that six-month run.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I was in eighth grade, I believe.
Did you have a thing for Kate Winslet or something?
Well, no, I was in eighth grade. And in Amory, see, your social options on a Friday night for a junior high kid are not very, very, very diverse.
It's the movies or Sonic.
Yeah, and we had a twin cinema, two screens.
Yeah.
And the other screen would either rotate rated R movies that sometimes they actually got really strict on getting in, so you'd have to sneak into it, or like a kids movie, because if you're going to have a screen, the way to actually get people to show up in Amory is to put kids movies on, because you take the kids to the movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
For months, it was Titanic on one screen and like the Muppets on the other screen. So about 16 Friday nights in a row, I saw Titanic. I've seen Titanic a lot at the movie theater, I will say.
Kate Winslet was kind of hot in that.
Yeah, I think there was a James Bond movie that came through at one point during that. We went and watched that. There's a Michael Douglas movie, seems to stick out in my mind a little bit, that came through during that period. Maybe was it the game? I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. But yeah, I've seen the Titanic a lot.
Stupid movie, because he could have easily gotten up on the piece of floating wood.
Well, I thought so. Yeah.
Of course, there was room for him. Scoot over, Kate, you idiot.
Does she die at the end? Is she dreaming? What do you think, the old lady?
No, I don't think she died.
Okay.
I think she's just talking. She's telling the story.
Okay.
About how she killed Leo.
She killed. That's a really long movie, too. I mean, looking back, let's spend our Friday night in a theater watching Titanic for the 14th time and sitting there for 3.5 hours. Is there anything else we could do?
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, Amory couldn't be that boring.
What was my other option?
I mean, I grew up in Ruston. It was very similar.
I'm in junior high. I don't have a car. I can't go to the bowling alley in Tupelo. I don't have a bowling alley in Amory.
Ruston had a movie theater. I'm trying to remember if there were two or three screens.
I mean, our parents would organize like a lot of parties and stuff for us just to give us something else to do.
Yeah, we did that.
But yeah, no, not a lot of options. It was a lot of it was a lot of movie theater back in the day. We kept the twin cinema afloat, I will say.
Y'all would have like dances and stuff.
Any holiday would be, hey, rent out the community center at somebody's house, and have the dance, and you play the Whitney Houston soundtrack and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. That was kind of the deal. So
the Whitney Houston soundtrack.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. So
with us, it was like Journey and stuff.
Well, you know, there's a lot of scheming, like, you know, who you're trying to sit by in the theater or that, like, you know, for that 16.
Sure.
Hey, it's like, hey, what are we doing here? What's up?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Never knew what might happen when things got a little crazy.
Yeah. 2 hours and 45 minutes in.
Took a little while to build up the nerve.
So
you had to wait for her to get as bored with it as you were.
She had to come down to your level over the course of 2 hours.
You were ready from the start.
Yeah.
She needed to get bored with the film.
Oh, man. The other thing is yesterday.
Die already, Leo. Good God.
Yeah. So I was, I went to physical therapy yesterday for my neck. And while I was sitting there, I was bored because I just had a heating pad waiting for time to expire. And I asked people for their favorite Christmas movies on Twitter yesterday.
Saw that.
So they told them to give me three.
Yeah.
What I've realized, I think people didn't say A Christmas Story very often because I think they're worried about the public backlash to that as I would jump on them. So I didn't get very much.
It's kind of like people who voted for Trump. They won't admit that they voted for Trump.
So I didn't get a lot of that. I got a lot of vacation, got a lot of Elf, got a lot of This Wonderful Life. What I realized, though, a couple different things, is, and I got to thinking about this, for the most part, Christmas movies, and when I say Christmas movies, all jokes like aside with like Die Hard or even The Family Stone, different things like that, those are just movies that are centered around Christmas but aren't about Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it could be any time. You could substitute things around, and that could be any time of the year.
Like, Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. It just takes place at Christmas time.
Yeah, so there are Christmas themes throughout the movie.
Right.
So, my point being, actual Christmas movies, like, Christmas is the theme. You could not have this movie were it not for Christmas. There's elves or a Santa or something is the main protagonist here. Those are very few and far between when a lot of people are talking about their favorite movies because they're bad movies. Most people, when they're picking their favorite Christmas movies, pick pretty good movies that just happen to kind of involve Christmas.
You know,
actual Christmas movies are not good for the most part.
I followed your thread, and one that we always forget about that I do think is sneaky good. I do think Polar Express is a sneaky good movie, like a movie that if you watch it in the right frame of mind, it can almost kind of move you a little bit. It is kind of it was really well done.
Yeah,
imagine that Tom Hanks does something.
Polar Express showed up a lot. Scrooged showed up. Well, some adaptation of Scrooge showed up a lot, whether it be A Christmas Carol or whatever you pick. A lot of The Grinch Stole Christmas, a lot of TV kind of things showed up a lot.
Wasn't there a fairly recent Scrooge?
Was there one recently?
And it was good, if I recall correctly. I don't know. I'm getting old.
I don't know. That was my one take, though. I think a lot of people just pick good movies that happen to have some Christmas elements in them and say those are their favorites. Because actual Christmas movies,
there aren't many.
Well, it's most of the older ones that move you a little bit. They've got a theme and some morality, and it's kind of it's nice this time of year. You're a little softer watching those in December than if you're watching them on June the 10th, where you go, oh, this is dumb, and come on.
Yeah, no way, I'm flipping.
You're cynical on June 10th. On December the 20th, you go, okay.
Yeah.
We'll let It's a Wonderful Life be okay. We'll let A Christmas Carol be okay. We'll, you know, White Christmas. It's all right. We'll make that okay. But,
yeah, I agree with that.
Christmas Vacation is a Christmas movie. Elf.
It's definitely a Christmas movie.
Yeah, but you know
Rocky
what I mean.
Rocky like, 4.
Yeah. Rocky 4.
I mean, peace on earth at the end of that film.
They fight on Christmas.
They fight on Christmas Day, and then Rocky stops the Cold War.
Are you in on Creed 2? It's gonna be Creed against Dolph's kid, I think.
Yeah, I'm in. Totally in. I mean, at this point, why not? I mean, you could do Rocky 4006, and I'd watch it.
Christmas in Connecticut showed up a lot. I've never seen it. It's like from 1940s.
I've never seen that.
No, it popped up a lot for some of the classics as I was noticing on my list. But the Santa Claus showed up a ton. I don't hate that.
I don't hate that either.
Really, it's fine. I forget about it, and I shouldn't. It actually should be in my top group.
Okay.
Home Alone. I forget it every time.
Yeah, and it's really good. I'm sorry. The people that rip that, you're
trying to be that guy.
You're trying to be that guy who's like, well, Macaulay Culkin turned into a complete nightmare, but that doesn't change the fact that the movie was really good.
First one and second one, pretty serviceable.
They're both really strong.
Yeah, they're good.
Both good movies. I like the first one better than the second one, but they were both really good.
They both have a lot of continuity or logic errors that kind of freak me out a little bit.
Yeah, but it is a movie. I mean, I do say you can stretch the bounds of credulity.
Well, we're all from Chicago, and we just go to New York, and we have all the same characters, and it's okay.
Yeah, it's a little much.
A little much. Although we are, by the time you get to the second one, you're already saying that all those traps and injuries would not have killed someone, and they were perfectly fine to walk out of the house at the end. So
yeah, I mean, you're not
hot irons to the face.
Walking out of that.
No, you're dead.
Yeah, you're done.
I mean, McAllister might have had a murder rap at the end of that movie.
Yeah. He was a vicious little kid.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, come on. We might have seen some signs here, frankly, on Macaulay later in the day. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
John Hughes or Christopher Columbus or whoever it was might have been at fault here for putting Kevin McAllister and Macaulay Culkin in that in that frame of mind. Just saying. Is it Hughes or Columbus?
I don't know.
I should feel like I should know that.
I didn't know there was a Columbus besides the one that accidentally discovered the New World that had already been discovered.
Chris Columbus, Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Miss Doubtfire, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Why would you, if you're the Columbuses, why would you name your child Christopher? What the hell?
You wouldn't do that?
No, why would you do that? It's like if you're the Jacksons, are you going to name your child Michael? If you're the Jordans, are you going to name your child Michael?
He also produced The Help.
Again.
It's one of my funny, one of my top three or four favorite movies ever is Arthur with Dudley Moore about the drunk.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite lines. He's like, when I ever have a child, I'm going to name him Senator. Give him a head start.
That's good.
Oh, yeah, he's great. You're a hooker? I thought I was doing really well. Best drunk on TV ever. I mean, on film. He's so good.
You're a hooker. I thought I was doing really well.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how to segue out of that, but that was my my day on Twitter yesterday. I had some time. I was killing time. People have asked about my ailments.
Yes. Update us on your ailments.
I have not had a headache since Friday afternoon. Spine x-ray was clear. They did not appear. They believe that it's something to do musculoskeletal, having to do with where the muscle attaches to the skull right at the base of my neck. And posture is a problem. The way I work on a laptop without the right angles. The way I sleep is in the wrong position potentially also. So nothing overly serious, but something is I need to change some habits.
So you sleep on your stomach with your hands, with your arms and hands above your head.
Yeah, I sleep kind of on my side of my stomach, and my arms are like one on top of the pillow, one under the pillow, kind of up on my head.
Okay.
And they say that kind of causes some impingement right there on your shoulder potentially. Okay. So I'm okay, but we're doing some physical therapy. It appears to be helping. Did some dry needling the last few days.
What is dry needling?
They take a needle, they put it into your neck, they put multiple needles into your neck, and then attach them to some sort of electricity or something, and it makes the muscles spasm and pulse.
Okay.
And it I don't know, it feels.
So kind of like acupuncture, except with
some electroshock to, or not shock, but yeah, like with some. Some electricity added to it, I guess.
Okay.
Because you can feel it. You can feel your heartbeat in the muscle when the thing's in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, honestly. But
I need to go get some physical therapy.
For what?
Hip flexor. Just awful. So tight, it's unbelievable.
Really?
Oh, man, I stretch for 30 minutes just to get loose enough to try to... I have to stretch for 30 minutes to get loose enough to warm up to run.
I haven't... It's the first time I've done physical therapy since I had Tommy John. I forgot how it's kind of a weird environment because there's really no privacy. You're just laying on tables next to other people on tables.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like
it's very boring.
It's kind of boring. I had to do like the hand bike yesterday where they put me in traction for my neck. So they like picked my neck up and had me do hand bike for a while. And it was a party. I had needles stuck in my neck. Got hung up. It was fun. So, hence why I was on Twitter trying to talk about Christmas. My phone is blowing up.
Something going on?
I don't hope not. Anyway, podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. Go get your sildenafil.
Just want to hit you up. Hey, what was that? Tell me about Tyson Drugs. I got to get ready for the big day.
They deliver it. If you hurry up, probably can get it for the Christmas season in case we get that precipitation. You get shut in and need it there in a few days. So give them a call.
What do you do with the rest of your time?
662-252-2321. TysonDrugs.com, fill out the form. As you know by now, it's the $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill, same length of effectiveness, get you ready in as little as 15 minutes. So I think we're going to talk to the guy behind Tyson Drugs later in the week on the podcast, by the way. I think
I got that.
Yeah, we'll ask him.
What could possibly go wrong?
How would you? How do you determine whether to break it into a quarter, a half, or an entire pill? I need a pharmacist recommendation on that. But either way, 662-252-2321.
Oh, God. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. He has been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site, harryalexander.com. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers 1-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, 3-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the 3-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And the podcast is brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com, just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Check out the new 18s. Look at some of the lease deals. I've purchased from them on several occasions. I've had nothing but fantastic experiences. You will too. Again, GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
All right, so now the main thing we're going to do on today's show. Again, yesterday, Mike Farrell and Adam Gorney, two recruiting analysts for Rivals.com and their podcast, discussed Matt Corral and, like I said, caused some thoughts on our board. So we'll play a segment of that now and then discuss it. So if you've already heard this, then bear with us for a couple minutes, but some of you have not. So we will do that now. Here we go.
And you know, speaking of debacles, you know, we've got Matt Corral making his third and final commitment.
Third.
You know, third USC commit. They essentially dropped him from all reports. Then he committed to Florida, and it looked like that was the fit. That was a really good fit. You know, they need a quarterback at Florida more so than anything else. But then Dan Mullen gets hired, and we're not sure if Corral was processed or if he decided to decommit on his own. Ends up at Ole Miss, and you know the physical talent is there, just like Chad Kelly. Physical talent is there. You just have to worry about everything else and take it from there. So, what's your prediction of the Matt Corral era at Ole Miss? What do you see? You know the situation better than anybody.
Yeah, and here's what I would have to say, and from an outsider's perspective, look at it this way. He decommitted from his dream school that won the Rose Bowl that would have basically an opening for him this year because Sam Darnold is leaving. So they parted ways, and then he committed to Florida, which absolutely needs a quarterback. They hired a new coach, and they parted ways, and he went to a school that just got whacked with a bunch of sanctions. Hired a coach no one knows, plays in a division where they can't win. And so that's telling. I mean, why did he do this? I think you could read between the lines that he's been, you know, parted ways with two schools, which, you know, could easily be where he ended up. He was scrambling late in the process to find a school that would essentially take him. In terms of on the field, very athletic kid, has all the confidence in the world, an excellent arm, can make all the throws, but not a great decision maker. I saw him throw 4 interceptions in one game this year, one that basically, you know, finalized the game. He had receivers. He had, you know, Jalen Hall, Cameron McDonald, the Markham brothers. He had talent around him. But I think, you know, he needs to, when it comes to Matt Corral, he needs to mature and focus on what's important to him. And that should be football and going to class and being a success. And so you wonder, is this, you know, a kid who USC didn't want to deal with, who Florida didn't want to deal with? And so, you know, Ole Miss scrambling for any kind of talent in what will be a career of being under sanctions and low numbers and all those kinds of things. I wish the best for the kid, but, you know, he's burned some bridges already. And so he needs to go to Oxford and really focus And hopefully, you know, this will be the turning point in which he does that. Another, and then just to add on to this,
so there's a lot there. Some valid points, for sure. The people that are just completely ripping Farrell and Gorney and going, the whole thing's bad. No, no, it's not. There's some valid points. USC was his dream school, and USC dropped him. There's something there. Now, the Florida thing, he committed to Jim McElwain.
And completely different offense than Dan Mullen.
And Jim McElwain's not there anymore.
Mullen visited him this past week. You don't go to California for a kid that you just absolutely have no use for.
No, if you're going to drop him, you just drop him.
Yeah.
You don't fly from Gainesville essentially to Los Angeles to drop the quarterback. Give me a break. Especially when you're not the coach that took his commitment. That's a simple phone call. But he doesn't fit Dan Mullen's offense, or Dan Mullen's offense doesn't fit him the way that Jim McElwain's did.
Yeah.
So to bring in the Florida thing is it's dumb. And then here's the part that this isn't just Mike and Adam either. This is nationally a few things. Number one, Chad Kelly had issues at Clemson, and he paid for them twice. He got dropped, which was embarrassing, from a program that he wanted to go to because everyone recruited Chad Kelly out of high school.
He was a 250 kid out of high school.
Everyone. Nick Saban wanted Chad Kelly. Nick Saban doesn't lose a lot of recruiting battles. He lost that one. He goes to Clemson. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Clemson's been pretty good. Chad Kelly would have had a really high-profile career at Clemson had he not gotten in trouble. He ended up having to go to East Mississippi, Chase. Nothing against the fine people in Scuba, but you were talking about Amory having the two theaters.
Scuba probably got two theaters.
On Maybe. A good day.
Yeah.
And then he came to Ole Miss, and look, I'm not saying he was a saint here, but there was never a scent, never a sniff of real trouble. And he had one hell of a career here. Ole Miss won the Sugar Bowl, and he was breaking records when he tore his ACL his senior year.
He had the third most total offense in SEC history in 2015 behind the two Johnny Manziel seasons.
Yeah. It's not debatable the impact that he had. And Chad's going to be in the mix for the Broncos quarterback job next year. At least that's the way I understand it. Here's the big thing. Sanctions. It's out. It's over. That was lazy, Adam, Mike. That was lazy. That was lazy.
I don't think anybody actually read the report.
I know they didn't. No, it's too much work. It's too much work. And so what they see is
Bowl ban.
So you have Ole Miss's recruiting class. I mean, Ole Miss's 2018 schedule up.
I can have it up if you'd like me to have it up.
Pull it up. We're going to go, and I'm making a point here. Let's do, tell me when you're ready, and we're going to do best case for Ole Miss in 2018. We'll do this 10 more times between now and the start of the season, but we're going to do it for the first time now. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay.
Ready to go?
Yep.
Throw it at me, and I'll give you a win or a loss. This is best case. This is the flowery red and blue glasses on my eyes best case.
The Texas Tech Red Raiders in Houston.
Win. 1-0.
The Southern Illinois Salukis.
Win. 2-0.
The Alabama Crimson Tide.
Loss. 2-1.
The Kent State Golden Flashes.
Win. 3-1.
The LSU Tigers.
Realistically, it's a loss at LSU. 3-2.
ULM.
Barely, but a win. 4-2.
Arkansas and Little Rock.
A win, 5-2. This is best case. This is best case.
The Auburn Tigers.
A loss, 5-3.
The South Carolina Gamecocks at home.
A win, 6-3.
At the Texas A&M Aggies.
realistically next year, I just don't see it. I'm gonna say loss 6-4.
The Vanderbilt Commodores
win 7-4.
The Mississippi State Bulldogs
in a best case scenario a win 8-4. Is that fair? Was I being fair?
Yeah, that's fine.
You wouldn't have any major arguments there.
You're okay.
All right, let's go.
Your point is valid as long as we're not trying to throw some access bowl ability at them.
Right.
So, yeah.
So let's go just real quick. We'll go through it again with a little more of a critical eye.
We'd switch two games, 6-6.
Okay, 6-6.
That's what we'd do.
So
we would switch, frankly, we would switch South Carolina, and then we would switch one of the other three.
Arkansas or Texas State.
Yeah, whatever.
Or State.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. So at 8-4, hell of a year. This year's 8-4 SEC team was Mississippi State, and they're going to the Tax Slayer Bowl.
That's correct.
This is not a knock on State or anything else. 8-4 is a hell of a good year. 8-4 gets you a trip to Jacksonville on New Year's Day.
Florida bowl game.
Kudos. It's a feather in the cap of that program. I'm not making fun of it. But it is not a big damn deal. 6-6. SEC teams at 6-6 this year are, hell, I don't know. It's the Belk Bowl. It's the Music City Bowl.
The Liberty Bowl.
It's the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah.
Frankly, the story in
the Texas Bowl.
Let's keep this totally real for a minute. If Ole Miss next season were to go to the Liberty Bowl, what's the story? The story is we're asking A.J. Brown, are you going to play? Are you going to risk it? Get pissed off all you want to. I really don't care. I'm in totally keep it real mode right now. The big story with A&M this week is Christian Kirk said, you know what? I feel like I should play.
Okay.
There are other kids around the country that are like, I'm just not going to play. It's dumb and I'm not going to do it. I love my school. I love my teammates. But damn it, I love money. And I can't risk this right now. It worked out for Leonard Fournette not playing in the whatever the hell bowl they were in last year. He went in the top 10 in the draft. Financially, it was a smart decision. And the only people who get mad at that are the old man on the lawn. That's it. Everybody else gets it. That's the story. If you're not in an access bowl or a playoff, the rest of it's immaterial, man. It's just a bowl game. It's a trip. It's a reward. You get some gifts. But it's not program-shaping stuff. Well, Mike and Adam, other than that, there aren't really any sanctions. No recruiting sanctions against the coaches on the current staff. None.
And one more year of a couple scholarships off the 85.
They're going to be at 81 this year.
Yeah.
There will be programs that aren't on probation that have fewer than 81 scholarships.
The biggest problem with the bowl man leading up was we didn't know what it would do from an attrition standpoint, and it appears that outside two and a half players, they dodged that.
They lost Shea Patterson and Van Jefferson.
Who's going
to Florida, by the way. Those are significant losses.
Yeah, no doubt.
Those are significant losses. The other losses are attrition losses. Guys that couldn't play.
They were going to leave anyway.
That were going to leave anyway. Jerry and Street transferred to UAB. He saw the writing on the wall. Deontay Anderson didn't play this year. I don't know where he's transferring. I've heard Houston, maybe. Nothing against the kid, but he wasn't an SEC player. He was kind of a tweener at this level. The other linebacker.
Brian Dixon.
Didn't really see much of him. I can't comment. Couldn't get on the field this year.
Well, he was a tweener because nobody really knew what to do with him. Not saying he won't play somewhere, I don't know, but he was a tweener.
So I'm not knocking those kids. Shea Patterson's a major loss, period. He's going to go to Michigan, and if he gets a waiver, he's probably going to be their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Van Jefferson's going to go to Florida, and if he gets a waiver, he will play a lot quickly.
Yeah, he's a loss. Ole Miss, at that position, can handle it better than other positions, but it's still a loss.
But I'm not going to be the dude that minimizes those losses. Those are significant losses. But from a program standpoint, by the time Matt Corral is a sophomore/redshirt freshman, the program's going to essentially be 84, 85 scholarships, and there aren't going to be sanctions. Now, you want to say Matt Luke's unproven? I couldn't agree more. Right now, there's no way, and I've said this, and I'm going to continue to say it, that you cannot judge Matt Lute one way or the other until, at the very earliest, 1 year from tomorrow. Tell me what's in the 2019 recruiting class, and I'll tell you whether this is working or not. So far, he's off to a really good start. Things are going well. Needed to get a quarterback? Got one. Needed to get a running back? Got one. Needed to get some things? He's doing it. But it's too early to say, oh, yes, Matt Luke's a star. You can't say that right now any more than you can say Matt Luke's a bust. You can't say it. The jury is very much in the jury room. They haven't even thought about, hey, where's the verdict form? They're still asking questions.
And then the other thing, now look, Ole Miss has got to do a lot of roster shaping to be competitive in 19. They're going to lose a lot of guys. I don't know what that two deep looks like in 19. But just the overreaching arc is, well, Ole Miss is in the West. They can't win. They were 4th and 25 3 years ago.
They just went to two access bowls.
Something that Michigan hasn't done. Something that Nebraska hasn't done. Something that Tennessee hasn't done.
I mean, is Ole Miss going to compete for the SEC West in 2018? No. Is Ole Miss going to compete for the SEC West in 2019? No. No. I don't know about 2020. Again, what's in the 2019 recruiting class? What's in the 2020 recruiting class? Matt Corral probably, if Ole Miss is smart, redshirts next year. So he plays 19, 20, 21, and 22. Those are his four seasons on the field. How can you sit there and say that about 20 and 21 and 22? How in God's name can you – he's going to be racked by sanctions his entire career? No, he's not. Not unless there's another investigation, at which point Ole Miss is a collection of idiots and they deserve whatever the hell they get. You want to say that he can't win a bowl game next year? You're right. As of this moment, he is not going to get to take the trip to the Music City / Tax Slayer / Belk / Birmingham Bowl and collect a couple of gifts and stand on the bench and hold a clipboard. You're right. He will not.
He's going to be fossil watchless in 2018.
He will not be allowed to do that. Instead, he will have to leave at the end of finals and go home to California for a month. You're right. If you're saying that he's not going to compete for a title in 2019 because the roster is going to be in the midst of an overhaul, you are correct. Ole Miss is not going to be a very good football team in 2019. Period.
Losing a lot of dudes.
Losing a lot of dudes and don't have a lot of dudes ready to replace them at best. At best, Ole Miss is going to be a young, promising, taking its lumps team in 2019. Get mad at me if you want to. If you want to make bets with me, I'll take your bets. I'll take your odds. Those of you calling for 8 and 9 wins in 2019, I want in on that action. That's going to be the year that you pay for all this crap. 2019 is the year that your credit card is due and you send the little note saying, hey, can I get an extension? And they go, nope. Pay it now. And you start having to cancel a lot of the stuff that you've been doing to get a credit card paid off. And then at the end of that, I think you're done paying.
Yeah, 1 year.
I think 2019.
On the field, 1 year.
Unless Matt Luke's a bust. But you can't say that right now. But they didn't say that. They said he's unproven, and that's fair.
Yeah, your hope for 19 is that it looks a lot like 12.
Yeah. Oh, God, if you offered Ole Miss 6-6 and promising in 2019, people with sense would jump on that.
Because that's a team losing probably AJ, DK, and Lodge.
And potentially losing its quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, Tamu, the assumption that he's just going to get that year, that's
probably
faulty.
Should, but I don't know.
Yeah, but there's nobody putting that in ink right now.
No.
And then there's a lot of people they lose. Should Breland Speaks come back next year? Next year's his last year. They lose a lot. Ken Webster's coming back. He'll be gone after next year. 2019 is going to be a year to pay dues. That bill's coming in 2019. And it's going to get paid, and it's going to get paid by young people. And it's going to, but that's probably going to end up being if the program goes well, and if they recruit well, and that's the big if. That's going to be the year that kind of galvanizes a group that would include Matt Corral. Now, Matt Corral's off the field stuff. They're right. That's an issue. It's the reason that he's not signing with USC on Wednesday. We don't really know what happened. I've defended rivals about what happened in Indianapolis. It's my understanding that it was not a rivals issue.
It was whoever puts the camp on.
It was whoever puts the camp on, and it was a Corral issue. I'm told he was outside of his room at an hour that they were all told to not be outside of their room. That's, can't blame that on Mike Farrell. Now, if that's the reason that he lost his fifth star, and I don't get into the ranking thing. You know this. I've been anti getting involved in the ranking thing for a long time. I don't think we can cover kids objectively and be involved in the ranking process. It's much like I understand completely where the baseball writers are coming from on some of these contracts that are being written now with clauses. Baseball writers don't want to be involved in your signing bonus. But if he lost a fifth star only because of things that happened off the field, I mean, I got questions because I covered recruiting for a while now. Typically, these are not Eagle Scouts. And to my knowledge, there's nothing happened that's been criminal.
No.
He doesn't have a rap sheet. And I kind of go back into the Chad Kelly thing. I mean, if the comparison's being made to Chad Kelly, Ole Miss in pretty good shape. Ole Miss could take some Chad Kelly now. Chad Kelly's one hell of a good quarterback.
Seems to actually have a lot of Kelly in him, even just kind of a personality standpoint, too.
Well, I mean, if he does, then Ole Miss is in for a treat. Because I'll tell you one other thing about Chad. You know this because you covered him, too. He was always present from a media standpoint. Didn't always want to be there.
Showed up.
But he showed up. Bo Wallace showed up. Mm-hmm. Can't say that about everybody. Can't say that about everybody.
Yeah.
But I can say it about Bo Wallace. Every single time showed up.
3 years.
Sometimes he really didn't want to show up. Sometimes he was irritated. He was pissed at that AL.com thing, and it resonated for a while. And he didn't like media for a little while, but he showed. Mm-hmm. And Chad Kelly showed, and there were days that Chad walked in there and had 1 foot out the door on the way out when he got there, was ready to go, but he showed. Answered tough questions. Can't say that about everybody. I imagine I'll be able to say it about Jordan Tamu.
Yeah.
Did you see Marcus Mariota along those lines? Marcus Mariota apologized to the media the other day for kind of being snippy.
Yeah, I saw that. His mom told him to, right?
Something. I'm not trying to offend anybody. It's Hawaiian, Samoan. I'm not sure exactly what the ethnic term is. I'm really impressed with that culture. From a raising your kids standpoint, they're doing something really right. There's a lesson to be learned there.
Yeah.
And if that comes across as offensive to anybody that is of that ethnicity, I give you my most sincere apologies. I should know the terms better than I do. But I'm totally impressed with the way that you raise your kids. So I hope that if you're offended by something I said, you also take that as a term of respect.
Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also a leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason about the flow down option. Allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704. JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for more than 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. Chase has used them recently. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, their work, it's second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer. but they work on any make or model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a great one when you get Gambrell & Associates. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application, rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
Podcast also brought to you by Mastercuts Lawn and Landscape, full-service lawn maintenance company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. Don't forget to get a quote from Mastercuts when you're ready to build a fence, stone patio, deck, arbor, or other outdoor living area. Also, outdoor kitchens and fireplaces are available through Mastercuts. To get a free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. I use them year-round. They can help you, too. And remember, when you mention the podcast and you sign an annual contract, first cut is free. So we're going to get our bowl picks going here soon. I see I've got an email to fill out. What time are the games?
You got one game tonight.
So I got to get one pick in today.
You got one pick in today. Okay. There's a game tomorrow, and there's a game Thursday. I've got the other games in the system. I still need to load photos and such. But the competition starts today. I made an executive ruling because, by God, I can.
Which is?
And it is December 16th. It's too damn early to have bowl games.
So we missed those five.
We missed those five, except we got them all right. We all start 5-0, baby.
Oh.
Yes, sir. Because if you're going to play a damn
bowl. Well, I mean, you know, I don't really miss postseason games. I get all those right anyway. So it probably was right down the list anyway.
Probably was. And so you finished on a very high note. The regular season, I will tell you this, Jeffrey Wright won by one game.
One game.
We all finished a minimum of 10 games over. Jeffrey and I beat you overall on not spread, just picking winners by one game. We all did really well.
At least 10 games over 500 against the spread.
Against the spread. Jeffrey, I think, won being like 16 over.
Okay.
And I was one behind him.
It's pretty impressive, frankly.
It is.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy with all of us.
96 games we picked against the spread.
Did we?
No, 106.
So the game tonight is Akron plus 22 at Florida Atlantic.
That's correct.
Okay. That's a big spread.
It's a big number.
Hard to bet against Lane and the boys, though, these days, isn't
They're rolling.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against Lane and the boys. Do they care?
Oh, yeah, I think they probably care.
Think they care?
Yeah.
Or are they home? Is it the Boca Raton Bowl?
It is called the let me see if I can find it.
It's the Boca Raton Bowl.
No, they've changed the name of it.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, hold on. I got it. I've got it in the thing. Give me a second. One second.
By the way, did you see how much weight our boys lost, CJ, down there? Looks like he's a normal human now that he doesn't play football.
Really?
Yeah, lost a ton of weight. Really slimmed up.
Good for him. It is called the Cherubundi Tart cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
The what?
Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
So that company, whatever it is, had seven figures to throw at a bowl game?
The Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. Tonight at 6 Central on ESPN. Akron, plus 22 at Florida Atlantic. Tomorrow's game, by the way, is Louisiana Tech plus 4.5 versus SMU. It's the DXL Frisco Bowl.
Yeah.
At Toyota Stadium in Frisco. And then
that is a soccer stadium, correct?
That is correct.
Yes.
And then on Thursday, it is Temple minus 7 versus Florida International in the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, 7 p.m.
Some dude that went into a coma in like 1981, and you just had the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. He wakes up and they go, "What's on TV tonight?" The Gasparilla Bad Boys Motor Bowl. And he goes, "What in the hell is going on?"
The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl at 7 p.m. Central from Tropicana Field in St. Pete. That is also on ESPN. And then there's a bunch of games on Friday, so you have some time. What we'll do is we'll keep it going, updating as the bowl season goes along, because it's a competition. And if you're falling behind, that might change your pick.
Oh, okay.
See? Yeah. So if we get to, say, you get to December 28th and you're losing, you might have to, hey, I was going to go with Virginia Tech against Oklahoma State.
But
I got to make up a game here.
So we're going to take those boys.
Yeah. Those teams, by the way, play in the Camping World Bowl.
Shreveport.
That's in
Orlando. Oh, it's Orlando now. That's right. Yeah.
Yes. The game in Shreveport
is Duck Commander.
Is Southern Mississippi versus Florida State in the Walk-Ons Independent
Bowl. Oh, it's Walk-Ons now?
Okay. It's at 12:30 p.m. Central Time on December the 27th, Independent Stadium in Shreveport.
This might be my favorite bowl game from a matter of who the sponsors used to be, edging out the Independence Bowl since they had a Weed Eater for a while,
is
the St. Pete Bowl. Magic Jack, whatever the hell Magic Jack is, Beef O'Brady's, BitPay, and now Bad Boy Mowers. Those are the presenting sponsors of that bowl game over the years.
Fantastic.
Magic Jack was a device that plugs into a USB port of a computer and has a standard RJ11 phone jack into which any standard phone could be plugged, which allowed the user to make unlimited phone calls in the U.S. and Canada. They were the sponsor in 2008. I did not own a Magic Jack at any point, I do not believe.
I never did either.
BitPay. It's a Bitcoin payment service provider.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. That's fun. Well, the Falcons won last night, so still no NFC teams lose games that are in the playoff hunt. This is getting annoying, but it is what it is.
I got to be honest, the NFC playoffs, I'm excited about them. They're going to be crazy.
If the Saints don't beat the Falcons, they can't win the South. They've got to win Saturday to have a chance.
Is the game Saturday?
I mean Sunday, sorry.
Okay.
Well, I guess they could. They'd have to have the Bucs beat the Panthers and then have to have the Falcons beat the Panthers the next week. I don't know, whatever. Or the Panthers beat the Falcons, I guess. But if they win, see, they haven't even clinched a playoff spot yet. They play the Falcons Sunday afternoon. So, a little nervous already. It's going to be a long week. It's going to be a long week.
What time's that game Sunday?
I assume noon, but I'll tell you if you hold on. What?
Andrew Luck, his most recent tweets. Dearest mother, the unit marches to Baltimore to battle a flock of pesky ravens. This shall be the penultimate battle of the campaign for our unit. The men welcome it winding down. I can almost smell the air of our farm. Soon, Andrew. Then he writes, dearest mother, I so long to use my sidearm. The unit's sawbones believe there may be a procedure in which squirrel tendons could replace my own. I am intrigued. Knowing the wonder squirrel oil can work, this seems like the obvious move. Hopeful, Andrew.
relevant games this weekend as per playoff situations.
Yeah.
On Saturday, you get Colts Ravens, as you mentioned, and then you get Minnesota at Green Bay on Saturday night. Minnesota's still looking for one of those buys in the NFC. And then on Sunday, relevant games. The Los Angeles Rams are at the Tennessee Titans in a relevant game for both teams. The Rams have a magic number of 1 to clinch the NFC West.
That's a good game.
Yeah, not a bad game right there. Let's see. Buffalo at New England is Sunday. Atlanta against the Saints is at noon on Fox. Just looking down the list. Tampa Bay at Carolina. Carolina obviously needs that one. Then Seattle at Dallas at 3:25, and a must-win for both teams to have any chance at all.
Yeah.
Somebody gets to lose that game is the exciting part.
This is the next-to-last weekend of the regular season?
It is. Okay. Then your night games, or your Monday games, are Pittsburgh at Houston and Oakland at Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Not interested?
Not really.
So Saints, Falcons, Titans, Rams are the games that you're in for?
Yeah, I'm in on those. Christmas Day belongs to the NBA.
That long-standing tradition that's gone on about 6 years now.
Yeah, but it does. It works.
It does work.
It's like Thanksgiving Day belongs to the NFL.
I don't really know why it works, but it works.
It works. It works. It's one of those deals that it works. The 4th of July belongs to Major League Baseball. Holidays belong to certain sports. Christmas Day.
Well, basketball saw a great opportunity because football avoids Christmas Day.
Yes.
So you had a chance to come in here in the middle of this. And
it worked. And they set
up their
schedule.
Had the NFL 10 years ago go, hey, we're going to play all over Christmas Day. Then everybody else would have backed off.
They would have owned it.
No, they would have owned it.
The NBA does not schedule games on Thanksgiving Day.
To avoid just
They acknowledge, hey, this is not our day.
Yeah.
We'll schedule the day before. And we'll schedule the day after, but we're not scheduling that day.
Nothing that day.
Nothing. They don't play that day.
I didn't know that at
all. Yeah, smart. People can love the NBA. You can hate the NBA. That's off, whatever. From a way the league runs and markets itself standpoint, brilliant. Brilliant. Not debatable. That's why the league has so many stars.
Saw the Lakers took the Warriors to overtime on Kobe night last night before losing.
Yep.
His two jerseys being retired in L.A.
Hard to argue.
No, I can't argue. Had over 16,000 points in each jersey.
Five rings.
Yeah.
He won two rings with Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol. That's it.
Top five player all time?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
You cannot put a top five together.
Who's in your – who are your candidates for your third spot?
Jordan's one.
Yeah, Jordan, LeBron, 1-2. Go from there.
My candidates for three, Kobe.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to do this in a different way because I was born in 1970. I can't comment on Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Oscar Robertson. That I can look at their numbers, but
it's hard to understand it.
So I'm going to do it in my era.
In most important figures, Bill Russell would be in there.
Yes. So it's Kobe, Magic, Bird, Kareem, incredibly underrated. Who am I forgetting? I think you could entertain Julius Erving, but he's probably not that high.
That's about it.
Karl Malone, from a numbers standpoint, you could talk about him there, but he's not there. It's probably those dudes. And I think I would put Kobe 3, and then I would put Bird and Magic in some order at 4 or 5 because of the impact that they had on the league. If you're a current NBA player, you should be sending a Christmas card every year to three people: Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson. They should get a Christmas card every year. because they paved the way for you to make a gazillion dollars.
It's the basketball version of Tiger Woods elevating everything.
Absolutely. If you're Jonathan was talking about that. You know, I said, we were riding in the cart from one of the balls that I hit well where we had to ride for a little while. And I said, if you could pay to watch one player, who would you watch? And he's like, well, really nobody because, you know, whatever.
I see them.
I see them and I might not be as good or whatever, but he's like, but I'd pay to see the big cat.
Yeah. It's kind of how they all feel. It's all like,
hey. Sure. Well, God, hey, man. I mean, Tiger Woods changed the game for them. Paved the way for a lot of those guys to make a ton of money.
To make a living.
Yes. Tiger Woods made golf popular to people like me. When you tell me Tiger's back, I'm like, oh, really? I'll kind of perk up my seat. I want to get my remote. I'm like, oh, well, what's he doing? I'm interested. And when the late 70s, when I was a little boy, I remember the 1979 National Championship game. I remember watching Magic Johnson and Michigan State against Larry Bird and Indiana State, knowing that those two guys were coming out. And I remember their early parts of their NBA career. And I can't – you're too young to completely remember this. At that time in the 80s, you either liked the Lakers or you liked the Celtics. And they brought the NBA from this league where its championship games were played on tape delay, on television – to must-watch television. And
even at my age, I have a hard time comprehending them because offenses and the game have changed so much. I look at Bird's numbers and go, eh.
But then you watch him play.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though? Yeah. Like, you look at it on the stat sheet and I just go, okay, fine.
But then you watch him play and you're like, wow, it's like he's so good.
It's like Curry's already in, like, the top seven of three-pointers made all time or something, and he has a chance to get to, like, number four this year.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the game, it's so different.
The game's just so different now. Yeah.
It's like passers in the NFL. I mean, they've never thrown like this. I mean.
Right.
Roethlisberger had 560 or whatever the other day, and they said, you know, that'd been two great Joe Montana games.
Yeah.
Where he throws for 250, 260. And
Aikman was sort of complaining about it the other day, and it was like, eh. I mean, I get your point. Things change. Life changes.
Yeah.
But no, for basketball, that would be – and then Kobe was an incredible player.
Coming full circle, it's going to be the conversation that's going to happen for Eli and all those guys getting into the Hall of Fame, because it's like, how do I rate your numbers in the era versus the other quarterbacks? What do you do with all these gaudy stats as they move forward?
You know what my answer is?
What?
Always. I test common sense. Yeah. It's like you and I were talking about the profanity thing and the vulgarity thing. You know what's vulgar and what's not. You know what's profane and what's not. You know what's part of regular conversation and what's not. You know what's trying too hard and what's not. It's just like watching quarterbacks play. You know who's great and who's not. Truth is, Ben Roethlisberger's a Hall of Famer. Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer. They led their teams to Super Bowls and won them.
You do think Eli gets in?
I do. Because I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
You think there's four quarterbacks playing right now that are going to be in the Hall of Fame?
Brady's the GOAT.
And five, sorry. Five.
Roethlisberger, Eli.
Breeze.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Probably not Rivers. He just doesn't have the postseason success to justify it.
No, off the top of my head, I was thinking Brady, Rodgers, Breeze.
Oh, yeah, Rodgers for sure. Yes, yes, yes.
And then the two we just discussed.
Yeah.
And look, maybe I'm forgetting somebody. I'm not going through a list, but.
But
off the top of my head, that's who sticks out.
I do think Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning are Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Are they?
2-1 A's and one dang good 1-B in that one class.
Hell yeah. Roethlisberger and Manning carried their teams to Super Bowls. Eli played 211 or 12 straight games, put up massive numbers, ranks in the top 10 on all these things. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Is he his brother? No. But that's not a fair comparison. Because if you're comparing quarterbacks to Peyton Manning, well, the list of people that are going to surpass that is like four.
Maybe.
I mean, Tom Brady. And then you're into the elite dudes like John Elway, Dan Marino. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, that's where Peyton's in rarefied air. There's Tom Brady, and then there's Peyton Manning in that next little group that
figure out however you want to sort it. It's up to you.
They're flying first class.
Yeah.
Every time. And then, so if you're comparing Eli to that, well, that's not fair.
But you compare him to everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won two Super Bowls.
Two Super Bowl MVPs.
He led the drive that beat maybe the best team in the history of the league. If the Patriots win that game.
Makes you wonder. I mean, I don't know that he'd get any higher. It's kind of like that zone or whatever. But Eli Manning doesn't exist. And Tom Brady's even that much gaudier on where this thing's sitting right
now. Not only that, but he would have had the undefeated season.
Yeah.
We would have said that team's the best team ever.
Yeah.
And they sure as hell look like the best team ever all year.
Beat the Giants in the season finale, the regular season finale that year.
I remember watching that game. I want to say I was in Chicago. I was in a bar. And I remember watching that game thinking, ooh, the Giants match up with them.
If, yeah.
You know, but you didn't think the Giants were, because they had to go open the, I think they opened their playoff campaign in Tampa. And they won, and then they had to go to Dallas and win, and then, I don't know. Then they had to beat Green Bay in that really cold game, yeah. They went to Tampa and won, went to Dallas and won, went to Green Bay and won, yeah.
Okay.
And then won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer. But Kobe had a special career. He was remarkable. Before we go, let me tell you a little bit about State Farm, Romero Miller State Farm. Everyone knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give him a call, go to Google, enter Romero Miller State Farm in the little search engine, and then give him a call. Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212.
We'll be back.
Ole Miss basketball tonight, by the way, at 6 o'clock. Entertain Texas A&M Corpus Christi at the Pavilion.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Coverage of that, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Take care.